This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of fantasypoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and a big program forthcoming as we get ready for the national championship game in college football this evening down in Miami, Indiana, and the Miami Hurricanes. We'll break it down with our guy from fantasypoints.com, Josh Chevalier. He'll pop on in about 15 minutes. Then we'll run some propage and some angles up another flagpole. Our guy Ben Stevens will join the show to pop out some best bets for the national championship game. And hey, it is a national standalone game. I am supposedly a football expert, not a college football expert. However, I felt confident enough in that I've watched Indiana play three games. I've seen Miami play a number of games, two to three games. I am here in Georgia. I was kind of homed in on the Bulldogs last year, so I do know me some Carson Beck. So I've got some props. Now, if you want to use it as entertainment purposes only, that is fine. I do not spend the time on college football, but I mean, come on. The show's called Prop Points. I'm addicted to winning. I can't quit winning. So we'll pop out some props at the very end of the program. I actually have four or five props that I actually feel pretty good about. So one of them, one of our actual college football experts, Josh Chevalier, he's in on it as well. But it would be pretty sweet for yours truly to come in here and have a winning night. We did have a winning weekend, so let's break that down here at the top of the program. Divisional round, takeaways, the betting recap. I'm going to change it up just a little bit as opposed to just showing the board and going through all the props we got right or wrong. Let's do it game by game. It was a good week. We went 11-4. So I think if you add up Monday's show and this weekend, that would put us at what, 15-6, not too shabby. Started off on Saturday with Bills Broncos. Now, full disclosure, I did pick the Bills to win the game, so I was incorrect there. One prop we were in on, I was very confident. I wasn't sure if James Cook would get to the number. Just to be safe, I'm like, all right, let's just go with the total, the carry total, like, because they're going to feed him the ball. And they did. 24 carries for James Cook. He gets that done. I did not mess around with Josh Allen props, but amazing that he threw for 283 in this game against a tough secondary. We did like Dalton Kincaid. Finally, he got it done. You notice the wins we have, they're mostly all just, it's a joke. You know, we lose props by like a yard or two, and we win, for example, the James Cook prop. We needed 18 carries, you got 24. For Dalton Kincaid, we needed 36 yards, you got 83. So this is very typical for us. I didn't trust the Khalil Shakir prop. Probably should have. Shout out, though, to our guy Justin Varnes. I'm pretty sure he got the defensive props that he liked correct, and one of them was the nickel corner for the Broncos, and we did discuss how, you know, Shakir was going to be very involved. He was. Caught 7 balls on 9 targets. Dawson Knox even got involved, but I'm glad I didn't go venture into the Brandon Cooks waters. I was a little worried about the matchup there against often Pat Surtain. That was the matchup often. The one L we got is a little annoying. And I did say, and here's a pro tip. If I ever explain out a prop and over, and I say within the segment that the guy stinks, don't play the prop, because I did say that about Keon Coleman. I'm like, yeah, he stinks, but I do think he can get to 21 yards, but he did not. Of course, he does score. I did feel like he was a sleeper in the game, so that's kind of the fantasy Spidey sense it helps, but sometimes it hurts because it's going off and I'm like, yeah, let's do the prop. And then the over doesn't hit on the prop, but the guy scores or something like that. But yeah, we won't be in on anything positive for Keon Coleman, perhaps for the rest of time. On the other side, we did like the Bo Nix prop. He did better than I thought he would. Throwing the football, 279/3 is pretty impressive. I didn't think he would do all that well, so I thought he would take off and run, which he did. I mean, he had 12 attempts. That's a lot. I didn't necessarily think that RJ Harvey could take full advantage of this very favorable matchup. I think I even mentioned, maybe not here, somewhere else, I know I did, that watch Jaleel McLaughlin be a little bit more of a factor, and he was the second leading rusher. I'm not sure where the Courtland Sutton prop was. I think he was right there, but we avoided it. We didn't like him, and he was incredibly quiet for most of the game. I mean, I don't believe he got his first catch until the fourth quarter. But as always, notice I didn't bother with any of these Denver receivers. Let's see how many guys we spread the ball around to this week. It's probably 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, come on. It's so annoying. And this was the bottom, the rock bottom with Sean Payton throwing to randos that we've never heard of. The crumb touchdown. That was probably the dirtiest trick he ever did, Sean Payton. Moving on, obviously Denver emerging victorious, but obviously the Bo Nix injury. I'm already looking at a Jared Stidham prop, by the way. It is a rushing prop of 14.5 for this weekend. Saturday night, it was San Fran, Seattle. Unfortunately, my favorite prop of the damn week was... it lost because Zach Charbonnet got hurt, but obviously that was an easy win. And I did state that I probably should have taken the Walker prop too, because I thought they would both absolutely roll. I thought they'd blow them out, basically. And they did, but unfortunately Charbonnet got hurt. I'm like, oh man, I saw him down on the ground. I'm like, that's it. He's done. Not great. So we didn't get a win there, but luckily I avoided the Jackson Smith and Jigba over because that didn't do anything. Cooper Kupp surprised a little bit. We'll see if he returns next year, catching all five of his targets. For the Niners, yeah, I did not expect much. I kind of regret not going in on the Juwan Jennings under. I was very worried about him playing that left wide receiver spot for the most part, seeing a lot of Reek Woolen. But we did like Jake Tonjes, baby. Here's another example. You know, again, the losses, they're usually like by a handful of yards. The wins are always by like, you got that by like 40%. We had Tonjes over 34.5, and he got 59. We also had McCaffrey under 16.5 rushing attempts. I mean, we even got the rookie James out there late in the game. Brian Robinson got a couple of carries, but McCaffrey didn't come anywhere close to that prop. So, Tough deal for the Niners, and we didn't bark up that DeMarcus Robinson trade. Good luck. Good thing, because my man got 1 yard, one after that big breakout game on Sunday, the Texans and the Patriots. I'm very glad that I didn't get sucked into Woody Marks or Christian Kirk, quite frankly, because we played them both on Monday night. And they were big winners, but I was like, nah, I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy about it. Although I kind of regretted Kirk. Once the game started, I'm like, oh, there he is. I probably should have played the prop. We didn't do it. He doesn't hit. Jaden Higgins is your leading receiver. Now, they also lost Dalton Schultz, but Houston, you have a problem at quarterback. I don't think that C.J. Stroud's the answer. I mean, they should have pulled him. I felt like they should have pulled him the week before, quite frankly. Davis Mills, you can actually run the offense with Davis Mills. C.J. Stroud is out there seeing ghosts, clearly. For the Patriots, we did opine on Friday's show that the Ramondre Stevenson prop of, what was that, 39.5? I mean, we did say it wasn't 37.5. We did say insulting, and it was. 16 carries for 70 yards. My man missed an entire quarter dealing with that eye issue. We got a little lucky on Stephon Diggs. I thought that Hunter Henry in the tight ends would be bigger factors. So we got a little lucky there. 4 for 40. He does score, but he does not get that fifth reception. So we will take it. Yeah, still a little shocked that Hunter Henry only had one grab for five. And then last but not least, last night's game, I wasn't feeling Puka. So we played the under, and shockingly enough, it still hits despite the overtime. But man, Davante Adams came up pretty small. I don't know what the hell happened. I mean, my man played in Green Bay, so the cold, you can't use that as an excuse. I did notice that the Rams played it in the backfield exactly like I thought they would the week before, with Kyren Williams taking over. Oh, well, can't get them all right. And then over for the Bears, we did get that Roma Dunze prop correct. And then the lone buzzkill there was Luther Burden. DJ Moore, a little bit more involved than I thought. Colston Loveland, he was a factor. Probably should have played that Swift prop. He did pretty good. Pretty well on the ground. I wasn't feeling Kyle Manungai as well. But yeah, overall, very successful day. Other than Roma Dunze, we did hit the Dalton Kincaid anytime touchdown prop at plus 295. I like the Roma Dunze prop at plus 280. If you saw the game early in the game, my man pretty much dropped the touchdown. So not much else we can do about that. Not much else we can do about the NFL for now, because college football is front and center. When we return, we'll chop it up with our guy Josh Chevalier of Fantasy Points College Football. See some propage that he has cooking for tonight here on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using the promo code PROP. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with a full access to daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and the upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code PROP to save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Before we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our guest, a little breaking news item. My guy, friend of the program, Adam Schefter, reporting for ESPN. Seahawks running back Zach Charbonnet suffered a season-ending knee injury that will require surgery. So go jump on the Ken Walker props, but they do have that Helani guy, who I believe might be the third running back, who looked awesome in the preseason. But college football is front and center this evening down in Miami, the national championship game, Indiana against Miami. And our guy, Josh Chevalier, a big time Miami fan, CFP analyst over at Fantasy Points on the X machine at CFF guys. That is correct, Josh, right? You are a big Hurricanes fan.
That's correct. I gotta admit, it felt like this may never happen again, that Miami in a national championship game after the last 20 years, but NIL, yeah, and Mario Cristobal coming together at the same time has brought us to this moment.
Hey, you never know. You waited 20 years. I waited 30 years for my Dodgers, and now we're going to win three World Series in a row. That's right. It's already, don't even play out the season in 2026, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get into it. I continually bring up to you how I am in Georgia, and I moved here last year when Carson Beck was still the quarterback. I was kind of taken back how no one liked them down here. I'm talking decade-long Bulldog fans, but maybe that's one of the reasons why he left. Very successful season, obviously. But you have a very fascinating Carson Beck under here. So let's talk about this. Under 0.5 rushing yards. So my man's going to goose egg people or be in the negative, right? What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think even your Georgia Bulldog buddies would say Beck's kind of a statue back there in the pocket, and he's been that way really this year for Miami. I mean, he's negative rushing yards three of the last four games. Now, he has run the ball more, particularly against Ohio State a couple weeks ago. However, this Indiana front seven is nasty, and they get at the quarterback at the seventh highest rate, sack rate. In the country, they're 13th in sacks per game at 2.9. I think they're going to be able to get to Beck. The defensive line does a lot of stunting up front, which is the same thing that Ole Miss did to Miami last game, and I think they had five sacks on Beck in that game. And I think the Miami offensive line is in for a long day, particularly when they drop back to pass. And I don't think Beck's going to get any rushing yards because in college, unlike the NFL, sacks count against your rushing yard total and for rushing attempts. And so he'll be in the negative for sure in this game, as Indiana, I think, is going to get to him for sure.
Now, I said at the top of the program that I am popping out some props for tonight, maybe for entertainment purposes only. Maybe I'm a little arrogant because we're doing pretty well here on our NFL props lately, but I did consider this one very strongly, but I opted against it. Yet you are in on Mark Fletcher over 69.5 rushing yards. I know that they would probably want to keep feeding him the ball. Their O-line is dominant, great bunch of blue chippers, right? Blue, huge dudes, you know, like just pile, you know, guys to move the pile. Yet also Indiana is very tough against the run. So as you had mentioned off the air, it's strength on strength. Yet you are in on Mark Fletcher over 69.5. What do you see there?
Yeah, you know, this reminds me a little bit of going against Ohio State a couple weeks ago, where it's like, man, is Miami going to be able to get the push up front? You had Caden McDonald in the middle there for Ohio State, those plugging everything, and nobody could run on Ohio State. And then Fletcher comes along and runs for 90 yards. I mean, that's his lowest output over his last three games in the playoffs. And that's the only way that Miami has a shot in this game, is to run the ball, to me, over and over again to get some kind of positive yardage. And that's what the running game does, right? They're not going to get 20, 30 yards a pop, but they are going to get 4 to 5 and just try to beat you down. And I think as long as Fletcher gets to 18, 19 carries, which is a must for them to have a shot to win, then he hits this number of 69.5 in this game.
Josh Chevalier, college football analyst over at fantasypoints.com, on the X Machine at CFF. Guys, I was just telling you a little story, anecdote, about my history, and people have made fun of me at times because I have, you know, made evaluations on players on a handful of plays. For example, in 1989, I loved Sterling Sharp. I took him 11th overall in my fantasy draft, despite the fact, right after I took Barry Sanders, who was a rookie, by the way, despite the fact that he had like 55 catches and two touchdowns. This may be why a dude in my league started calling me the guru, by the way. That's not for nothing. But I was asked, like, how did you know Sterling Sharp was going to be good? I'm like, because I saw 9 plays the year before, and that was enough. Well, I felt the same way about Charlie Becker about 3 weeks ago. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, obviously anybody with the gift of sight knows that he made some big plays, but I just saw something special there. So, spoiler alert, I'm in on Charlie Becker tonight, but so are you, which makes me feel a little bit better. 46.5. I mean, my man is averaging 20 yards per reception, leading the conference. What do you see with Chuck Becker tonight?
I mean, look, we talk about there's players that can make 50-50 balls, 80-20 balls. And Charlie Becker literally is doing that this year. He's caught 11 of 13 contested targets, which is an 84% rate. It's absolutely insane. I mean, look, this kid is unbelievable. I'm with you. He's a future NFL talent sticking out on a receiving corps that has two other future NFL wide receivers. And it's just crazy. And this number 45.5 receiving yards, he's gone over six of the last seven games. And so we know the talent's there. I do think Miami's going to keep them this close enough that they're going to have to throw the ball even more than they did against Oregon or Alabama in this playoffs. The last time that we saw him really go off was against Ohio State, who is, again, an awesome secondary, but he had six catches for 126 yards against them.
Yeah.
And he still cleared this 45.5 yard mark in blowouts against Alabama and Oregon the last 2 weeks. So this, to me, feels like the easiest one. Miami has two injured cornerbacks. They have another one that's out for the first half, and those are really their top three cornerbacks. I mean, look, if you're saying Charlie Becker is going to go against probably a true freshman cornerback in the first half, I think he has this number by halftime, and this is the path for Indiana to ultimately win this game and move the ball against Miami in this game.
I noticed on the books there, it's like bad odds for three. So they're expecting him to get three, and he's averaging 20 yards a catch. So that would be 60. You like over 22.5 for the longest reception as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is another one. He's gone over six of the last seven games. He's gone over his longest reception has been over 23 yards. In fact, it's been over 30 yards. So he's cleared this pretty much in every game. I mean, this is, again, his contested catch rate. They're going to throw it up to him. And I mean, look, they had the Penn State game was really close this year for Indiana, and then the Ohio State game as well. The player that in clutch time had a big long time reception in both those games, Charlie Becker. And I think, again, he could have another one here. He's going to be in the whole game doing this.
Last but not least, Reuben Bain, you like him to get a sack here. Indiana giving up seven sacks over the last 3 weeks.
Yep. I mean, look, this is the one way that Miami has a shot to win this game. Every time that Indiana's given up double-digit pressures in games, they have struggled in those games, even though they've won them. Penn State, Iowa, and Ohio State, and then Oregon the first time. Look, Bain gets pressure on the quarterback better than anybody. He's had four sacks in this playoffs. I think he gets at least one in this game. Akeem Mezidor is also at 0.5 sacks. I think he gets one as well. I think you can go either one of those, and they're going to get to Mendoza tonight.
Excellent stuff. Josh Chevalier, college football analyst, fantasypoints.com. Give him a follow at CFF guys. Check it all out at fantasypoints.com. Great stuff, Josh. Really appreciate the time. Good luck with the plays. Enjoy the game. Good luck to your Hurricanes. And we'll chop it up with Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday next year on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. And welcome back to this Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Back to the Progressive guest line. We bring out the heavy hitters for college football here on National Championship Monday. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN at Ben Scott Stevens. He's been kind enough to give us some time all year long, crushing it on the props, I understand, down the stretch. Ben, how are you? Ready to rock and roll?
Indeed, I am, John. It's been a very, very long wait to get to this CFP National Championship game day Monday. Of course, the calendar in college football needs to be corrected, but at least we have reached this point. We have reached this date, and we have a national champion to be crowned in the sport tonight in Miami.
I'm so excited. I'm even popping out some props here in the second, in the final segment. Now, again, once again, I watched 9% of college football compared to what I watched the NFL this year. So maybe you want to take it to entertainment purposes only. That's fine, but I thought it would be cool. But you are, you've been nailing picks here down the stretch, and you're all about the college football. But let's start with your first one here. You like Indiana in the first half, -4.5, -105. Any thoughts on why that's your play?
Yeah, John, of course, there are a plethora of plays for a college football playoff national championship game, more betting options, more wagering possibilities for this spot in the college football calendar than every regular weekday. So we'll get to some props in just a moment, but one of the reasons I love the wagering potentials for this game, you can track and chart how you expect this game to play out, who you expect to win, and by how much, and find the path to doing so with the corresponding bet. For me, it's Indiana winning this game comfortably. They're laying 8.5 now. The number seems a little bit steep in my estimation. Of course, they have to win by 2 scores. They have to win by 10-plus points. I believe IU is capable of doing so, and they have shown us that dominant and impressive ability throughout this college football playoff run. But if they are going to even get close to covering the full game spread of 8.5 points tonight inside Hard Rock Stadium, for me, John, it starts at the very beginning, where Indiana has been successful and historic throughout this college football playoff. 17-0 the lead for the Hoosiers over the Crimson Tide in the CFP quarterfinal in the Rose Bowl. 35-7 the advantage for Kurt Cignetti and company in that Peach Bowl now over a week ago on a Friday night in Atlanta. Indiana has been dominant from the very jump. I expect that to continue tonight. That's why I like Indiana -4.5 points in the opening half against the Canes.
Yeah, they absolutely are a juggernaut. You know, like just as an interested observer, not an expert, you know, looking at Cignetti and all that, I'm like, I'm a big vibes guy. You know, I'm a huge vibes guy. And the vibes are just immaculate with Cignetti. Somehow has a good combination of confidence, arrogance, and humility. I don't know how he does it, but he does it well. Fernando Mendoza, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. I've called him a dork, but I say that with love. You know, it's a little bit of a compliment. It's better than being a bad guy, that's for sure. But he's not the most athletic guy as I'm looking at, you know, him in the NFL. I'm sure he'll have some second reaction upside, though, for sure. 16-plus rushing yards tonight, -120. You feel pretty confident about that. Let's talk about that.
Maybe not the most prototypically athletic quarterback or a dual threat signal caller by any means, but is very good at utilizing that athleticism and his speed when necessary. And Miami enters tonight with the most sacks in the country. Of course, other than Indiana, they have played the most football games in the sport of college football. But of course, when you have Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezidor on either edge for this Hurricanes defense, they can provide some pressure. 47 sacks this year for Miami. So I expect if Fernando Mendoza is under that duress, he can find a seam and take off. 16-plus rushing yards, a number he has been through for IU in 12 of the Hoosiers' 15 games this year, including 28 rushing yards in the impressive performance against Oregon in the CFP semifinal. Heck, John, in college football, one of the things you most often have to pay attention to when it comes to a quarterback rushing yards prop, sacks works against them in college very different than the NFL. Even in the Rose Bowl against Alabama, where the Crimson Tide got to Mendoza for 3 sacks, he still had 16 rushing yards. In fact, he has been through 16 rushing yards in 2 of the 4 games. He has been sacked at least 3 times this year. I feel comfortable that Fernando Mendoza, when flush from the pocket, can take off and utilize the legs tonight. 16-plus rushing yards in the college football playoff national championship game.
Yeah, I can see. He does have some solid speed there, straight line-ish and all that. Next up, Carson Beck. You know, there's a guy I have seen a good amount. And in terms of throwing a football, I would say he has a first-round skill set. and you like 20 plus pass completions at minus 120 on Carson Beck. What do you see there?
Yeah, I look for the pass attempt first, John, but you're paying a pretty good premium when it comes to 32, 33 pass attempts for Carson Beck. I still do believe Miami's offense starts on the ground with the physicality up front, one of the best offensive lines in the sport. Look out for that right side. Francis Maui-Noah, one of the best in college football. Mark Fletcher Jr. has been dynamic, really the engine for this Hurricanes offense throughout the college football playoff run. If Miami is going to have that success with the physicality up front, that's why I did not go to the attempts prop for Carson Beck, but rather the completions. I expect Indiana to win this game by at least a score somewhere in the 7-10 range, as that number alludes to tonight. If that is the case and Miami is playing from that trail position, I think it forces Shannon Dawson, the OC for the Canes, to have to call more pass plays and Carson Beck to throw the football. He has been incredibly efficient this year. In fact, in the Fiesta Bowl against Ole Miss in the college football playoff semifinal, John, one of two games this year, he threw for fewer than a 65% completion percentage. If he is throwing it near that pass attempts prop, around 31, 32, 33, heck, maybe beyond, he threw the ball 37 times against the Rebs in the CFP semi, I think he'll complete at least 20 of them. So 20-plus pass completions for Miami's quarterback in Carson Beck tonight in the title.
And then finally, Riley Nowakowski. I went back and I looked like he played 16 years at Wisconsin, and then he went on over to Indiana. I'm exaggerating just a little bit, but I actually did just go and check, and Riley Nowakowski played at Wisconsin with Jake Ferguson. Jake Ferguson seems like he's been in the NFL for like a half a decade, maybe a little bit more, but you like 22-plus receiving yards. Very mature guy. He's got a lot of experience here, minus 116. What do you see there?
Yeah, he does have a ton of experience in Madison, started as a defensive player, special teams, and then kind of transitioned over to the tight end side offensively. In his first year in Bloomington, he has been that safety valve for Fernando Mendoza. 22-plus receiving yards, a number that Nowakowski has hit in four of the previous six games for Indiana. In the two times, John, he did not get to at least 22 receiving yards, he finished with 20 and even 18 against Alabama in the college football playoff opener for IU. For many of the same reasons I alluded to Fernando Mendoza scampering for at least 16 rushing yards tonight, if Miami provides that pressure and Mendoza cannot go downfield at instances to Elijah Surratt, Omar Cooper Jr., and Charlie Becker, I expect him to look out to Riley Nowakowski, who provides that safety option, 22-plus receiving yards, a slight discount, a way that I would look at tonight's title game.
One more for you, not to throw you off guard, but I noticed last time out, I believe, in the semis, or maybe the week before, you loved Fletcher, and he crushed. So I'm just, I'm a little surprised you're not. Is there any reason why you avoided the Fletcher over?
One of the reasons, I think, for that, John, is just because of how dominant Indiana has been up front this year. 90-plus rushing yards is around the number where Mark Fletcher is. Half of the six times he has had at least 90 yards on the ground have come in the three college football playoff games for Miami, including a buck 33 against Ole Miss. It's a number we targeted. Ole Miss's front nowhere as good as Indiana's, and I expect IU to make that primary focus number one tonight to contain Mark Fletcher Jr. I think he has success. He is the engine that makes the offense go for Miami. If they are going to hunt a national championship, he has to be good, just not enough for me to place a wager down in tonight's national championship game.
Look at that. Didn't even tell him I was going to ask him the question. He had all kinds of good stuff there for the reply. Our guy Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN during the college football season, at Ben Scott Stevens on the X Machine. Great stuff this year, Ben. Appreciate all the time. Thanks for your help, sir.
Thank you.
There he goes. And I'm on my own with my college football picks next in the final segment of Prop Points here on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment here on a Monday. Obviously, the day is dominated by college football. We do have Super Bowl odds out real quick. Coming out of the divisional round, Seattle plus 145, Rams plus 210, Pats plus 270, and the Broncos, that's a 11-1 long shot. We're going to have plenty of time to go over the props for this weekend. Obviously, we will put a serious microscope down with only two games. We need to dig deeper, and dare I say, we need to be more accurate when it's only we're only down to two games. We were more accurate this past weekend with only the four games, so maybe this will be a good sign. I mean, I'm already looking here on DraftKings, Ramondre Stevenson, 50.5. That's pretty good with Jared Stidham. Put it this way. Here's what I think about Jared Stidham. When I hosted on Fantasy Sports Radio, I did the morning show there for about 20 years. And when he was a thing, I called him Jared Stidham. And I mean, sit him on your bench. Don't start him. But one thing about him, my man will run. So 14.5 is looking pretty good. I see Drake May, 32.5. So very, very interesting here already. The Bronco receiving props, that's going to be very interesting. I see Cortland Sutton's hasn't really been dropped that much from where it was, by the way. So the books are like, yeah, Bo Nix isn't that good, quite frankly. That's my takeaway from that. Anyway, plenty of time to get into it. I don't want to waste people's time. Maybe I'll get these right. I mean, I have watched a decent amount of the college football playoffs. I do cover the football, NFL for football, you know, for three decades. It's not like I'm just throwing at a dartboard over here. So I do have some picks for tonight. And I try, just so people know, I try, one of my things I do is I always try to anticipate the flow of the game, which is always difficult, but sometimes it's easy, and take it from there and make my picks based on how I see the game going. Will this team be playing from behind? Will this team be nursing a lead? All that good stuff. So with all that said, and the, you know, the little knowledge I do have, like I am a Charlie Becker guy. It's been about 3 weeks now, maybe four, but let's start with Carson Beck. I do like this as a play. 200 plus yards, minus 114. Got this on FanDuel. So my man's going to get to 200, basically. If you get to 200, you win. And as we've discussed already on this show, Carson Beck, you kind of look at him and like, oh, he should be able to move pretty well, but he's not, doesn't move that well. But again, I think he has a first round arm, basically. I think he throws the football pretty well. He has hit 200 yards in 11 of 15 games at Miami. 73% of the time. Indiana has given up 200 plus passing yards in six of their last nine games, 66% of the time. Now, again, their front seven, Indiana's, this is why I didn't do the Fletcher prop. They gave up just 2.87 yards per carry, lowest mark in the Big Ten. They have given up at least 238 passing yards in five of their last seven. Indiana has. We see Miami, they're an 8.5, essentially home underdog. So playing from behind, it's an elite offensive line as well, big dudes. So he should have time to throw, and they should be playing from behind. He should be throwing in the fourth quarter. So I'll do that one. Got to be in on Charlie Becker. 47 plus receiving yards, minus 117 on DK. He's hit this 47 or more yards in three straight in four of his last five. You know, when I look at big games, any critical situation, I mean, what are NFL teams looking for in the passing game? A lot of things, obviously. But the one of the main things they're looking for in big games is explosive plays. It's all about explosive plays. So I think that's why Becker's been a thing late in the season. They're utilizing this guy to win big games by making explosive plays. He's not even technically a starter, but he has emerged as their top downfield threat. He's got a wide catching radius, good speed to separate, good jumping ability, great option. He's got long receptions of 36, 30, and 51 yards in Indiana's last three wins, all against obviously top teams here as well in the playoffs, Oregon, Alabama, and Ohio State. Three-plus catches, by the way, on DK is minus 156. So that leads me to believe that the books believe he's going to catch three balls. More likely than two, let's say it that way. Three, a lot more likely than two. Well, he led the conference with 20.5 yards per reception. So if he does get to three, we're going to get to 60 yards. Now, here's where I'm going to go. Maybe either I'm going to look like a genius or I'm going to look like a guy who tried a little bit too hard. But I try to anticipate things and how, you know, it seems obvious. Oh, Malachi Toney, ACC Rookie of the Year, first team All ACC, second team All American, very impressive freshman season. However, you know, I looked at all his game logs. Last two regular season games, my man had 13 receptions for 126 and 12 grabs for 146. But since then, in the playoffs, he's got 5 for 81. 5 for 82. I think teams are bracketing him, and I would expect that to happen here in this big game. However, I also expect them to try and feed him the ball as much as possible, design throws, screens, design plays, and the like. So I like 6-plus receptions at plus 125 on DK. Now, somewhat correspondingly, I'm going to go with Keelan Marion, the number two receiver, to make a play, basically, and be active. 45-plus receiving yards, minus 111 on DK. And again, they're 8.5-point, basically home underdogs, so that's a good combination. Probably going to have to throw it a lot with the home crowd. You would think it'll be a home crowd, even though, obviously, I know it's Mendoza's hometown. But again, 8.5-point home underdogs. Physically, I think he's got an NFL skill set. I kind of looked at him a little bit. I'm like, it's a day three pick, you know, fifth rounder, something like that. 6 foot, 200 pounds, pretty good size. He had a big game last time out, by the way. He might not be like a crazy athlete or anything like that, but to pivot off of Malachi Toney, who, again, is kind of the star, he'll be a little bit of a mark man. I like Marion to get to 45 plus receiving yards. I'm going to pop out one more here. Also going to remind you, when we sign off, make sure you stay tuned. Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. That is followed by Follow the Money with my guys Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. And then stick around for VEASAN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, programming note, this week we will spend a lot of time obviously exploring the two games this weekend, but we'll also kind of branch off a little bit. I've got my Dynasty League rankings for all the key positions, all the skill positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. We're also, and tight end, we'll also kind of recap the fantasy season. And as I'm doing those positions, we'll talk about lessons learned, things that we can learn from this past year and utilize to help us get better in 2026. My final prop here is, again, I'm expecting Indiana to win. They are 8.5-point favorites, so I'm expecting Carson Beck on the other side to throw it a lot. I'm expecting Becker to get to 47. He's for the Indiana Hoosiers, but he's going to help them get the lead. And then Malachi Toney is going to be peppered with targets, but Keelan Marion, the other receiver, is going to be over his prop because Malachi is going to be a little bit of a marked man. And I do think Indiana is going to have a lead. And in the second half of the game, when you're looking to ice it, you want to run it with Roman Hemby. So let's go with 63-plus rushing yards for Hemby, minus 114. I know Miami's defense is tough. They've got Kalon Black. He's more of a make-you-miss guy, home run hitter. Hemby is the bigger back at 6 foot 210. He is the volume guy to grind out a win late, leads the Hoosiers in rushing with over 1,000 yards. And his size, bulldozer. They'll use that late. He also has some speed, so maybe he pops off something, but I like it. Roman Hemby, 63-plus rushing yards. That's all I have. Hopefully it goes well. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you manana. Enjoy the game. We'll catch you manana. Another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.